sing, but we're not going to sing for you. This is part of our group. We have a couple of girls that had to go to work this morning because they were allowed the weekend off. And this is the majority of our girls that went to the Revive Tour. We just want to tell the church, thank you so much. You gave and you gave and you gave, and we ask and we ask and we ask and beg several times for funds. And we just want to say thank you. We felt your prayers the wee hours this morning driving home, being there 3 days and not sleeping any, our fault. We had a lot of fun. It was very tough. And I just believe with all my heart that God did get us home safely early, early this morning. And we say thank you. The one thing I do want to say, they're going to speak just a minute, a couple of them, on something they learned. But the most impressive thing to me this weekend was trying to share and teach with these girls that God is God, no matter what your circumstances are. Whether you have a boyfriend, you know, we took young girls, or don't have a boyfriend, whether you have the perfect job or not the perfect job, whether you have money or don't have money, your circumstances don't determine who God is and what He can do. And that God is God, and we worship Him in spirit and in truth, no matter what our circumstances are. And that's really what we worked on as a group this weekend. So I'm alone just to share a few words with you.
Like Miss Karen said, thank you all again for letting us go. We had a great time. Like she said, not much sleep, but we're going to catch up today. I'd say my favorite part was we sat really close to the stage, and at one point we looked around, and I think there was 6,500 girls there, and it was amazing because they were all there for the same reason we were, to learn more about God and how to show Him in our life. And a couple of us got the privilege of meeting one of the singers, Britt Nicole. I think we had 50 tickets, and we made it up there. We ran for them. And it was so neat to see her. She only took 50, and the rest of them took 200 because she asked us questions about ourselves, and she prayed with each and every one of us. And, you know, she didn't know us, and she didn't have to do that. And I just thought it was neat to have somebody that didn't know me to pray for me and think about me.
While we were there, one of the speakers was talking about our dreams and how we put limits on them. And he was just talking about how so many people put how they put big limits on them and small limits on them. And no matter how big or little we dream, there isn't any limits on God.
Like Jordan was also saying, and Miss Karen, I want to also thank the church for allowing us to go. And one of the speakers was talking, the Revive has a theme every year, and this year the theme was Dream On. And one of the speakers was talking about how her dream was to be a dancer, and she had to take some circumstances and risks to get there. But like they had said, there's no limit on what God can do. You know, there's no dream that is too small or too big. And you can still hope for more. And God, you never know what He's going to do next.
I had a blast this weekend, especially with all these girls. We had an awesome time together. But one thing, I enjoyed all of it, but some stuff that really stuck out to me was, of course, the music. I'm just a big music buff. And I love how the musicians that were there, they had fun while we worshiped at the same time, and it made it really enjoyable for us. And plus, we were right there on the stage, so it was really exciting. And one of the speakers that was there, y'all have heard of Max Lucado. He's a really well-known author, but his daughter was a speaker there. And she spoke and did an amazing job, but one thing that she said that really stood out to me was how we are so caught up in things, school, boyfriends, friends, drama, and girls, we get so easily caught up in all that, but the thing that can take care of all that is God, and He will, you know, friends will pass away, boyfriends will pass away, but God will always be there, and despite any circumstances, that He'll always be there for us. So once again, just like we've said, thank you so much. We had an amazing time, and we couldn't have done it without y'all, so thank you.
I'd just like to say thank you to those adults that took off and took time to take them, because not a lot of people did that, including myself, and it does take extra to do that and to miss work and the employers that let them. So thank y'all, adults, ladies.
that took our daughters.
Okay, time for Pastor Powell's as they head on down this way. Here they come. Y'all be careful. Okay. Wow, what an awesome bunch. This is cool. Okay. Well, instead of pass the offering plate around, we pass the church around. There you go. Looks like Peyton's got it under control. Anybody else? Okay. All right. There she comes. Help her out, Peyton. Okay. All right. In the Bible, there's a very small word that's very big in everything that it does. And it's the Bible talks about a word called sin. Very short, S-I-N. Can anybody tell me what is sin? Does anybody know? Just a real short word, sin. What is sin? Sin something to someone? Well, I love it. That's why I ask them these questions. This word is a little different. Patrick, it's S-I-N. Do you know what that is? Sin. It's when we do something wrong or do something bad. Now, y'all be very careful how you answer this. Now, tell me something that you do that may be wrong. What's something you do, Percy? Say a bad word. Yeah, Patrick? Oh, paper? Oh, treat people ugly. Okay. And, yeah, that's definitely wrong and bad. And there's all sorts of other bad things that we do. Did you know that even y'all have done things that we shouldn't do? Like if we disobey our mom or our dad or somebody like that. If we say wrong words and whatnot. And that's why the Bible tells us that Jesus had to die on the cross. It's because we all, everybody including Brother Michael, we all sin. And we mess up. And Jesus paid the price for everything on the cross. That's really awesome that God loves us enough to do that for us. So just a quick note about sin. Yes, sin is when we do wrong. And the Bible does talk about it. Everybody has sinned. Preachers, adults, young people, your parents. And that's why everybody needs Jesus. And he's the answer for that. Okay, everybody, bow your head. Close your eyes. Y'all did awesome. Dear Lord, I thank you so very much to have this little devotion with these young people. I know that they're just really eager. And I pray that we would give them the right instruction. We'd help them, that we'd show them what God's Word says. In Jesus' name, amen. Y'all did really great. Y'all walk.
This morning, Haley Creek was supposed to have the special, and they couldn't practice and all. And Ronnie is supposed to be instant in season and out of season. So he's going to go ahead and bring us a special this time. Y'all pray for him. It's called, this older song is called, Where Can I Go? And the only place you can go is to the Lord if you got.
Living below in this old sinful world, hardly a comfort can afford. Striving along to face temptation's sore, where could I go but to the Lord? Where could I go? Where could I go? Seeking a refuge for my soul. Needing a friend to help me in the end. Where could I go but to the Lord? neighbors are kind. I love them, everyone. We get along in sweet accord. But when my soul needs manna from above, where could I go but to the Lord? Life here is grand with friends I love so dear. Comfort I get from God's own word. Yet when I face the chilling hand of death, where could I go but to the Lord? Where could I go? Where could I go? Seeking a refuge for my soul. Needing a friend to help me in the end. Where could I go but to the Lord?
Thank you, Brother Ronnie, and thank you, Miss Dina, for using your talents for the Lord. And when we need a friend, where could I go but to the Lord? Go ahead and open your Bibles, the book of Genesis, chapter 3. Just a quick note here. I was going to hand this off to Brother Norman, but I'm going to go ahead and get it real quick. Dear Promised Land Church, thank you so much for the cards, phone calls, love offering, and prayers. We really love and appreciate each and every one of you. Please continue to remember us in your prayers. Mallory is doing good and is up to 5 pounds and 12 ounces. Love, Jamie, Deanne, and Mallory McKinney. And continue to remember them in prayer. Sounds like Mallory is doing well. Caleb's been sick all week. I tried to call, left a message for Miss Deanne, did talk to Jamie, and I think about him and Ronnie. They're pilots. We have several pilots in the church that may not have known that, I should have got him to fly me to Belize, but I don't know if he's licensed to go out of the country or not, but. Anyway, a lot of people that work in that particular field. Matter of fact, at my last church, one of my deacons built airplanes in his basement, and you can order them as a kit, and they're labeled under a title by the FAA as an experimental aircraft, and they have to be completed 51% or more by the person building it. It's a pretty neat deal, and everything. There was a luggage rack in the back of the plane and had a slot for his gun rack so he could take his hunting rifles because there was a friend of his that had a really great place to hunt in Alabama, and he would just fly from Louisiana to Alabama, land at the county airport, and hunt. And so just haul his stuff there in the back as a two-seater. I never got to go up in it, but that's some really cool stuff. Allie's been asking me a lot of questions and about flying, and of course I like anything fast. I like, and if it does more loop-de-loops, the better it is to me. And bring it on. And I'm glad I'm that away, because some people aren't. of course, the stupidest thing I've done, I know that's a bad word in some people's vocabulary, is bungee jumping. It was the greatest adrenaline rush in my life, but that was crazy. but that was a lot of fun. If you like adrenaline, it sometimes does the body good, I guess. Genesis chapter 3. Speaking of adrenaline rush, I imagine Adam got adrenaline rush first time he saw Eve, you know. Oh, man. And there was Eve. And think about it, folks. Does God make anything that's not perfect? As a perfect woman. And so perfect man, perfect woman, everything's great. And then what the whole message is about. And the title of the message, The Fall of Man, and what does that have to do with us today? Well, that was the reason, the choice of my just for our young people to know a three-letter word, sin. It's a word that a lot of preachers won't preach on. Some preachers won't preach on hell. Some preachers won't preach on sin. Sin is still wrong. It's still wrong in the Bible. It's even though the world tries to justify sin. Basically, you know, in since I teach Greek at the seminary, the Greek word is amartia. It's a very simple word that they used when they talked back then. It means to miss the mark. And that's it. We fall short. Romans 3:23, we'll get to in just a second. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We fall short every time. I mean, all of us here, if we had some of y'all, we had that Armadillo Festival one year, and we decided to have a booth. You know, I said, has Promised Land ever had a booth at the Armadillo Festival? I said, I don't think anybody's ever thought of it. Well, I like brainstorming with people and coming up with ideas that we've never thought of before. So we did, and we had a booth, and we had the baseball throw with the radar and different things, and there was guys throwing close to 90 miles an hour, you know, and I can barely shoot anything that fast, you know. And, you know, God didn't bless me with a throwing arm. You know, I can shoot the hoops, but I can't throw really hard. Man, they was throwing stuff. Okay, well, let's all have a contest and see who can reach the mark from Promised Land. Let's see who can hit the Statue of Liberty with a baseball. You're all going to fall short. I mean, that's a simple illustration that God's level of goodness, that if you want to go to heaven, God's level of goodness is that good. Even though that's really probably underestimating it. But we all would have to, even if, now I know this might throw some people for a loop, but even if somebody lived a perfect life, if you're born a sinner, you're still a sinner. People don't become sinners the first time you sin. When you breathe your first breath, you're already a sinner. The Bible says we come into this world condemned. That's why we need Jesus. That's John 3:18. If you want to look that up and check them. But, you know, we come into this world condemned. We need a Savior. Why? Because of sin. Where did this sin come from? Why in the world are we in the shape that we're in? And the things that we believed. I'm preaching the series, What Do We Believe? And this is something we believe. Now, The Baptist doctrine of what, this is a big handle, total hereditary depravity. Basically, you inherited sin. We all did. Everybody that's had an earthly father has inherited sin all the way back to Adam. Adam sinned. He chose to sin, by the way. We find that in the Old Testament and in the New. In Genesis 3:8, the Word of God says, and they, this is Adam and Eve. By the way, there's just two people here at this particular time. Only two people on the entire earth. Oh, and by the way, right before this, everything was perfect. Then they sinned, and God started cursing everything because it was the consequences of sin. Karen and I were discussing a passage of Scripture, and getting our thoughts around it, you know, that God, the Bible mentions about the sins of the parents affecting the third and fourth generation. And that's really what it is. Our kids don't pay for our sins, but they may reap the consequences of our sins. And that's true in all of life. God does not change that law. There is a consequential order of our sins. We can be forgiven. You know, you can ask God to forgive you, say, like, kind of like, it's a very easy illustration to use. Say a girl gets pregnant outside of wedlock. Well, according to the Bible, that's not the order it's supposed to be done in. You're supposed to be married, and then that's what Adam and Eve, they had the first marriage ceremony. God performed it, said, man shall leave his father and mother, even though they didn't have a father and mother. Man shall leave his father and mother, husband shall cleave unto his wife, they shall be one flesh. Boom. And you're married, you can have a family. That's God's order, all right? Well, say a girl gets pregnant outside of wedlock, has a child. Is that a sin? Yes, that's a sin. That's a sin just as much as saying a cuss word. Okay, we say that. Now, even while the girl is pregnant, she can say, God, I messed up. Will you forgive me? Guess what? The Bible says in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Okay? Well, guess what? He's faithful and just. He forgives us. Do we still have to reap what we sowed? Yep. Does the pregnancy go away? No, it's still there. We still have to. And guess what? Even the pregnancy and even the men that have to work to provide the food on the table, and nowadays the economy is so bad that you hardly ever see a husband and wife that both of them don't work anymore. That's a rarity. That's a very rare thing. Anyway, let's look real quick. So they both sinned. I'm in verse 8. They heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. I see that, and I'm not God, but I mean, I've walked up to people just visiting with people and, friends of mine that drink, and I'm trying to get them to live a life for the Lord, and put the beer can behind there where the preacher don't see it. Duh, the preacher's so stupid he didn't see you do that. Yeah, I've got a dumb pastor. He couldn't see me do that. And right. And at least that's what people treat me as anyway sometimes. And I said, Bud Light for you today? Oh, you weren't supposed to see that. But that's the same thing Adam and Eve. Not that I'm God, but I guess I stand for the Lord. I represent God's word. At least I should, I think, as a preacher. And here comes God and just His presence. I mean, He just starts walking in and just His presence. And they know He's coming and they hiding behind the trees. Because why? Because they're under conviction. And He asks in verse 9, where are you? Verse 10, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. And He said, who told you was naked? And but by this time, they did have these fig leaves on. And the Bible says as they go on, and the man said, the woman, I'm in verse 12, whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree and I did eat. A lot of people believe that Adam was blaming his wife, but he wasn't. If you compare Scripture with Scripture, he was telling the truth. My wife gave me this food and I ate it. A lot of people say, no, he wasn't blaming. He was telling God the truth. Because later on they get saved when they accept God's covering for sin. And the Bible says in verse 13, the Lord God said unto the woman, well, what is this that thou hast done? The woman said, the serpent beguiled me. That means he tricked me and I did eat. And the Bible confirms that even the New Testament. The New Testament says Eve was deceived and Adam knew what he was doing. Okay? And that's not to say that she was gullible or anything, but Satan caught her at the right time, the right moment, and tricked her. Okay? Some people say, well, did she have all the information? Did she know? It doesn't matter. Bible says she was tricked. Old Testament and New. Satan tricked her. End of story. He tricked her. Satan will trick any one of us, men or women. He will trick you into believing a lie. He will trick you into thinking something's okay. And matter of fact, that's what our school systems, our culture, TV, commercials, people that want to sell you stuff. I mean, there are legitimate car salesmen out there, but a lot of them get a bad rap. You know, because why? Because there have been the bad guys, the tricksters, the schemers, the people who get, it's kind of like the bad, you know, apple in the barrel, and it makes every one of them, rest of them look bad, smell bad, but they're not all bad. But, you know, out there in the world, there's people that want to deceive you, want to trick you into thinking that something that's really wrong, according to this book, is okay. That's what Satan is good at. And he'll use anybody or anything to do it. And then as we go on, I just want to hit real quick the fall. So they both messed up. And this is kind of a domino effect. We cannot see everything going on behind the scenes here. But when God cursed the serpent in verse 14, it affected the entire animal kingdom. According to Scripture, whenever we get into the millennial reign, God is going to change. Even before the flood, there was all kinds of environmental changes. People lived a long time before the flood, 900 years. There was animals were herbivores. They ate plants and different things like that. There was no meat eating going on. God also changed, and I think that's where we get all these bad critters. Like, why in the world? You know, people have asked the preacher before, Brother Michael, why do we have fire ants? What is the purpose of them? What is the purpose of mosquitoes? You know, things, I mean, these are horrible critters that we all live with. And these things, the Bible says that in the millennial reign, that's when won't happen, even if Jesus were to come back today. And we believe that that Jesus were to come back at the beginning of the tribulation period, that's still a ways away, several years away, okay? But there is a 1,000-year period of time that Jesus is going to rule this planet. And the Bible says that the serpent won't have its sting anymore, you know, the snakes. Lions will lay with the lamb and the wolf and the sheep and all of that. So the environmental change. But so before that, that's the way it was. And then he cursed the animal kingdom in verse 4. And then he goes on to say, with the first prophecy about a Messiah, I'm going to put enmity between thee and the woman, between her seed and thy seed, and it shall bruise thy head, but thou shalt bruise his heel. Talking about the suffering of Christ. Verse 16, unto the woman. Now, sorry, ladies, this is all Eve's fault. Unto the woman, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception, and sorrow thou shalt bring forth children. And basically, I'm going to make it one of the most painful things you'll ever experience. Of course, we figured out a ways to do that. You know, as Bill Cosby said, if you've ever seen Bill Cosby himself, you know, give me drugs. You know, there's natural childbirth and there's drugs and there's epidurals and all those other things that we can alleviate. What are we trying to do? We're trying to get around the curse. We're trying to get around the curse. And matter of fact, we've got a bunch of John Deere people in here. And guess what John Deere is for? John Deere is to get around man's curse. We till the soil. We try to get the thorns and the thistles out. Anything we can, but we still have to fight. We still have to sweat. Many people have said, well, man's got the curse is you got to work by the sweat of your brow. I've heard that all my life, and then I looked it up one day. In verse 19, it doesn't even say that. Sweat of thy brow. It says the sweat of thy face. So we got the curse on the ground and labor and toil. And then finally, and I have a reference there to Genesis 2:17, where God says, if you eat this tree of knowledge of good and evil, you're going to die. Well, they ate it and they didn't die. No, but they began to die. And their body began to decay. If they hadn't have disobeyed God and ate that fruit, how long would they have lived? They'd just live forever. Jesus could have. Sin brings forth death. There's no sin in you, you're not going to die. That's why we have cancer cells, birth defects, why bad things happen to good people. Sin is in this world. You know, the common attitude toward God, we've all sinned. Okay, so we've all fallen. And the Bible says, and I didn't take that, and that's that verse right there. The Bible says in Romans chapter 5, verse 12, the Word of God says this, wherefore is by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Now, I'm in Romans, and if you have a Bible, I hope you are too, because I want to look at Romans chapter 1 and verse 18. And as you have your Bible open to Romans 1, I just want to refer real quick to the scripture that I put in your bulletin, which is Isaiah 64:6. You know what it says? You don't have to turn there. I'll just quote it for you. It says, all of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. And we all do fade as a leaf. In other words, everything we do is temporary. It fades away. All of our righteousness. In other words, remember me talking about the goodness of God would be like us having a rock throwing or a baseball throwing competition from here to the Statue of Liberty. I guarantee you we're all going to fall short. You know, every one of us are going to fall short. We cannot throw it that far. We need, you know, the only way we can get there is Jesus. All right? Our righteousness, according to the Bible, is as filthy rags. Oh, by the way, if you really want to look that up and do a word study, the filthy rags, and there's several other ways you can go about it, but basically, is anything that oozes out of the body like skin wounds or anything like that, that's the filthy rags. Just that's the rags it's talking about. And that's really disgusting. You know, I don't mean to gross you out. But basically, any infection or oozing or pus that comes out of our bodies, the rags that take that up, that's bad. God's saying, you build me a great cathedral. Looks like filthy rags to me.
Ew.
Well, the Bible tells us what pleases God, and it's not our good works. And this is the common attitude today of man. Romans 1:18, for the wrath of God, that means His judgment, is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. In other words, people don't care. People don't care about God or church because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. In other words, there's preachers everywhere, especially in the U.S., but we're so blessed here in the U.S., we're so monopolized by churches. There's more Baptist churches in Arkansas than there are people. Not just, I know that's an exaggeration, but it seems like it. And we're so used to seeing preachers and churches and this and that. But did you know if you've lived here all your life in Ashley County or somewhere here in Arkansas that the world is not like Arkansas? You leave Arkansas, things are different. Well, things are different in pockets of Arkansas all over. But you know what I'm saying? If you get out of this county much, there's a different world out there. And not all of it's very pretty. It goes on to say, for the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead. So people are without excuse, basically. Verse 21. Because that when they know God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Visit any college campus, and you'll see that. Just about every college campus has atheist instructors. Because a lot of times the wiser people get, the more they'll reject God. We've got a lot of atheist-turned-believers that are in our, it's in our library. I've shared with those you before. Some of those graduated from Yale, Wheaton College, one of the most renowned private Christian colleges ever. And they changed the glory, I'm in verse 23, of the uncorruptible God and made it like unto a corruptible man, to birds. In other words, people started, would rather worship a statue than a living God. Wherefore, God gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worship and serve the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Well, I said all that to get to the last few points. Let's just make a run through. Romans is loaded. The next verse we're going to hit is Romans 3:10. Matter of fact, I've got a big crowd here this morning, but I don't mind doing this like my Wednesday night class. Brother Lee, what does Romans 3:10 say? What does it say for us, sir? He's looking at his Bible saying, as it is written, there is none. Basically, Paul quoted an Old Testament scripture. That's all he did. Nobody is as good as God. But we all want to be up there with him, don't we? He's so good, he's going to let everybody in. Did you know that a perfect God would be kind of like a judge? You stand before a judge, and the judge says, oh, that's okay. It doesn't matter what you did. You're a pretty good person. Go on. That's all right. I'm going to let you off. Is that a good judge? No, God doesn't make a mistake. And he's going to judge. Thank goodness Jesus paid our fine. He paid our penalty. I stand before God. I owe him everything. I cannot pay. I'm good, God. Let me in. He says, no, you weren't perfect. I said, nobody can be perfect. He said, I can't let you in. Jesus says, I'll pay his way in. Romans 3:23, I've already quoted it for you. For all have sinned, come short of the glory of God. Now go to Romans 5:8. What's this whole sermon? Y'all going to leave here saying, what did Brother Michael preach on? Y'all, don't fail the test. I'm not going to be one. Don't worry. I'm giving that Monday to the students. All right? What? Sin. Just three letters. And what is the middle letter of sin? You answer that one. That'll be on the test. Because everything based on us is all about us. Sin. But God, I'm in Romans 5:8, but God commendeth. And if you have a different version Bible, it probably says proved or showed. He proved his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 6:23. I'm almost done. Y'all are doing awesome. Romans 6:23. You want to go to heaven? The Bible says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It's a free gift. I want to say this very plainly, and I'm fixing to read Romans chapter 10, but listen to me very plainly. If you have never told Jesus, prayed to God and said, God, I'm a sinner. Thank you. You don't have to say these exact words, just something like it. Thank you for dying for me, rising again to pay my price for sin. Would you please save me? I cannot save myself. Come into my life right now. Anything, if you've prayed that to God, and I'm not talking about repeating after a preacher or some other card, but you got to just say it from your heart. I tell young people or any adult that I deal with, tell God what you want and what you feel in your heart. That you know if you're under conviction, it's because God wants you to do something. He doesn't convict you for no reason or for just any reason. If you want to know, let me show you from the Bible. Either read it from the Bible that you have open by you or listen to my words. In Romans chapter 10 and verse 9, that if thou shalt confess or will confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart, that means your heart, that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth, it just means that you'll share. If Jesus comes in, you will want to tell somebody. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, which means, as he was writing to Romans, He said, even though Jesus was, there's a lot of racial prejudice in Jesus' day. I remember the first time I went to Romania, and there was, you know, I've been raised in the South where there's always been a black-white thing, you know, and there's, and now in Texas where I was raised, there's some blacks and whites and almost a majority of Hispanics. God's saying, I'm the same Lord over all. Anybody, get the racial thing out of your brain. Anybody can be saved. Matter of fact, he says in Romans 3, Jews and Gentiles, that means everybody. Gentiles is an old word for other nations. So you got the Jews and any other nation. Ethne, you ever heard of ethnics? You just said Greek for Gentiles. Ethne. All right? Verse 12 says anybody can be saved. And finally, verse 13, and this ends it up. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Anybody seen anything in there about church membership? About doing things 1 through 4, subsection A? For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. There's somebody here this morning, and I don't know, it's between you and God, and things are not right between you and God. I don't know your heart, but God does. Either you're not living for the Lord, or you've never prayed that prayer. You've never invited Jesus into your life. And whenever we sing in just a second, now's the time. The Bible says today's the day. It does. As our musicians prepare for the song, as we all stand, I want to ask everybody to bow their head. Just stand up and bow your head and say this. Just pray as I'm praying. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Dear Lord, I just thank you for this opportunity. You knew exactly who needed to be here this morning just to hear this passage from your word, to share the story about why we all need a Savior. And Father, I pray your Holy Spirit would work. Just help us to understand what you want us to do. In Jesus' name, amen.